Welcome to Front Row Geeks.
Welcome to Front Row Geeks for FRG Weekly Episode 3. Woo-hoo! Gentlemen, welcome.
You had a second one? Oh, yeah.
Yes. You were there, Heppley.
You were there, Heppley.
It goes on and on and on and on.
So, with that, introducing myself, boss man here. Oh, my God. Wow.
Can't remember your own name?
Yeah, no, I don't know what I was going for that. I was trying to sound impressive,
The boss man. The big cheese.
Eddie Espinoza.
The Trumpinator.
Baron 5X, the Red Baron. The one who forgot we had an episode last week is Heffley Deadly Sodium.
Yes.
And returning again after accidentally forcing him out of last week's podcast.
Which was a sad thing.
Is Kage Palazzo. Will.
Yep.
And two new voices this week. Alex, a.k.a. Scarecrow. And Tony, I don't know what your handle is, man.
Review.
Whoa.
I can't talk today, so it's review.
Review.
Mm-hmm.
Review squared?
It's spelled differently each time. But
So review. Oh, yeah. All right.
R-E-V-U with a macron over it.
We're going to have to get that closer to you, buddy, then.
All right, there we go. Right.
So, in our first episode,
yes.
we talked a little bit about where the screen names come from. So I'm gonna be amiss if I don't look at the two new faces and two new voices and go, all right, where'd that name come from? Scarecrow, why?
Scarecrow? It's because, let's say...
It's a Jungian type.
No, when I was in high when I was in high school, I was in a lot of bands around, you know, I was in a lot of different bands. It started as one of them just decided, because when I was younger, I used to have really frazzled hair, and it was really long. They said it looked like Scarecrow hair, so they sort of decided to call me Scarecrow for the band.
Nice.
And it just sort of stuck for, like, all my gaming tags and everything. It's just sort of followed me since then.
What he doesn't want to tell you is that he went and sprayed fear gas in everyone's face.
Yep, that too. Scarecrow does happen to be my favorite Batman villain.
Scarecrow is his favorite Batman villain.
Is that why I have this fearful respect for you right now? I don't know where it came from.
Or it could be just the shirt he's wearing.
That's right. Dogs and bullets, who knows?
That double dog shirt.
But no, it just came from being in various bands. It was a band name and a couple of different things, and it's just followed since.
Okay. Cool. Welcome, Alex. Tony, where's your name come from, man?
So yeah, sorry my voice isn't really in it today, but other high school story. When I was in high school, we were playing a whole lot of DDR, enough to the point that
yes!
we started a DDR team that was called Revotaro.
Yes!
And so we would go around and challenge other people and teams around the city to DDR matches. And so then it got to the point that I just sort of stole the name once I graduated.
Wait,
and kept it for myself.
I'm going to stand here. Yes.
I'm not standing. Let it be known. I'm sorry.
Okay, I want to just...
Who's standing?
I just want to say that I've known him for almost 10 years now, and this is the first time I've heard of this.
Well, that's just because you've
I've
never,
just known of
you
him.
You never
asked. I never asked. I was just like, Revotaro.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works.
He had no idea that I stole it from a DDR dancing group.
You were part of it.
Oh, my goodness. DDR. That just takes me back to freaking U of A when we're sitting there like... Was it DDR?
DDR?
A lot of DDR and a lot of
stuff.
Yeah, but wasn't there another...
There's
not DDR, but
there was
like
Into
another
the Groove.
One. Yeah, In the Groove.
Or In the Groove.
In the Groove.
Yeah.
No two.
I'm thinking stupid.
It was DDR, but you went diagonally instead of
Yeah, exactly.
Up and down,
but they played
sideways.
The same song over and over again in their
little
demo.
They had a couple
demo.
Of cool songs that I had to get.
They had some cool songs, but they played that demo song like all the time. If it wasn't being used... And we had to sit there and go, like, oh, thank God somebody's playing it because they could play some other song. But then everybody danced to the same song, so it was just...
It didn't matter. Why bother at that point?
Yeah. Play DDR.
Just play DDR.
Didn't
get
into
DDR is not good.
No, my rhythm game was definitely Guitar Hero.
And that's a
beautiful Guitar game, too. Oh, they're coming out with one!
Yeah, I don't need to because I have this thing called Rocksmith now. And it actually uses my real guitar to teach me to play songs.
That's
so I'm slowly but surely getting better at guitar.
I will say, though, that the beauty about Guitar Hero is that one of my favorite things about a video game is how it makes you feel badass. I like playing badass characters in video games because it's just like some sort of empowerment fantasy. And there's few games that did that, like Guitar Hero did, where you just felt badass.
Oh, dude, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that, I rock, the okay? The games told me, all of them. They told me I rock, so I know I rock. they're at the end of every song, it said, you rock.
All five of them, and they all tell me at the end of every song, you rock.
Bro. I'm pretty sure there's more than five now.
There wouldn't be a Wii in my house if it wasn't for Guitar Hero, because my cousin won our Wii by beating everybody else at Guitar Hero.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
I'd like to challenge him.
Oh, I challenge you to Mortal Kombat.
Didn't you beat through the Fire and Flames?
On expert.
On expert?
Okay, to be fair. Not really. I'm going to put that out there now. So everyone gets the wrong idea.
You did it with the edited with like...
No. I actually played the song, but I may have had a failsafe in the fact that I prevented myself from being able to fail.
Okay, that
literally a failsafe.
That's.
But no, see, I did it because my friend of mine tried so hard, and I was just like, I bet I could do that. And then when I couldn't, because I realized how freaking futile it was, I found out, I was like, hey, there's a no-fail cheat. I want to get through the song. So I played it on expert very poorly, and every time he came over, he would see the score on there, and he's just like, you son of a bitch. What is that?
No, I thought you did it like where you paused it and then kept going.
No, that was my excuse. However, I was able to beat the Dream Theater song on expert.
Oh.
That one I was able to do, not through the Fire and Flames.
Pull Me Under?
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, Pull Me Under is such a good song.
Mm. All right, gentlemen, let's get into this week's topics then.
Very well.
All right, so first on the docket, so apparently there's a two-song, Arizona Daily Star article.
Arizona Daily Star article that was done last week that was basically talking about all of the Tucson gaming stores. All of the hobby stores. So we're talking about, let's see here, Hats Games.
Hats, whoa.
Hats Games. We had Tucson Games and Gadgets. We also had Amazing Discoveries, A2Z Games, Isle of Games.
Woo!
Heroes and Villains.
Which we've been to Isle of Games.
The one by the PetSmart.
Yeah, yeah. Heroes and Villains as well. There's also another store that was not included in that, but should have an honorable mention, which is Game Trade.
Wait, that's the one on Broadway, right? Or is no? Or is
Game Trader?
The one we're talking about?
Well, no, Game Trader is on Silverbell and Grant.
Okay.
Heroes and Villains is Broadway and Swan.
Yeah, okay. Broadway and Swan, which is, you know, they started off as a comic book store, but then recently branched out with a second store.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they started Heroes and Villains, he was doing a lot more than comic books. He had games, he had art classes, he had anime rentals, and he stopped doing anime. He had anime rentals, and he stopped doing anime rentals because he said that me and one other guy was the only ones that ever rented.
So that's the only reason why you would remember that, because no one else does.
Do you think now is the time to bring that kind of stuff back? Now that there's a lot more money in this, a lot more interest in it.
There's a lot more interest in anime. The only thing is that now that anybody that wanted to get into this would have to compete with R Galaxy, and I'm not the biggest fan of R Galaxy myself, but they definitely have a collection that's
rivals pretty much anyone's.
R Galaxy,
just felt weird.
R Galaxy is on Grant and Campbell.
Yeah,
they used to be on Broadway as well, but they moved, and they basically. Have it's an anime paraphernalia store. They have rentals, toys that you can't find, you know, in the States easily. And I mean, now it's easier with the internet, but pre-internet, that was Tucson's location for anime stuff.
Wall scrolls, comic books. The reason why they're not on this list is because they don't do games.
They don't do games.
You do go Heroes and Villains. You can actually get, you know, card games. You can get role playing games. R Galaxy is pure comic books, video rental.
Okay, so yeah, so the article is more based.
The article is more basing on the gamey hobby stores.
Okay.
So, and of course, it discussed how all six of them, you know, are basically working together. Because it's basically just location. If you live on the northwest side, near Oro Valley or whatnot, you would probably go to A2Z Games because that's where it's located on Thornydale. I'm sorry. I am so sorry today.
That's okay, guys.
My tongue is still burning from horrible.
My fault.
But it comes back every once in a while. But
he goes, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. If you live all the way on the east side, you would go to Isle of Games.
Or you like me, you just go there anyway you loved Game Days when they were around, and these are the guys that when Game Days left Tucson, they said, you know what, forget it. We used to work for the store, we're going to start our own game, and I commend them so much for that level.
Days was the one in the mall.
In Park Mall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one was one where you could buy
all kinds of different... That's where we got Wise and Otherwise.
The ex-employees of Game Days, when Game Days moved out, started Isle of Games.
I was so disappointed when I found out Game Days moved out. Yeah.
If you liked how they were doing things,
but that's where why I liked Isle of Games when we went there one time.
So where is Isle of Games?
Isle of Games is located on Broadway and Pantano in the shopping
with
plaza.
Right next to PetSmart.
Behind the Carl's Jr. You can walk to Carl's Jr. I've
never been.
Never been?
I've only... Pretty much Hats. Hats Games is my go-to. Well, and there actually were an interview on our podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I remember
early
that.
Last year. Mm-hmm. Or wait, sorry. Early last year.
Gotcha, okay.
I was going to say, it had to have been last year because I didn't start showing up to these podcasts.
And then you have Amazing Discoveries, Tucson Games and Gadgets, and Heroes and Villains. Isle of Games are all on Broadway.
Broadway's
the main street. It's a very long street, but they're more central, those three locations, and I guess it's just a preference.
So for you, I think you all have more experience to this than I do. I'm still pretty new.
I go to a lot of those stores all the time.
I'm really new to that whole scene, honestly, the last like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Where do you think are these stores are at in terms of what they're doing for the community and what they're doing well? And what do you expect from them in the future?
They all work together as far as like doing certain tournaments. You know, they try very hard not to step on each other's toes, which is good for community. So if you're just into things like maybe HeroClix, you can participate in HeroClix tournaments at all these locations and not conflict with each other. Majority of the time. So you can find your niche. They do really well with, you know, certain stores have their certain niche. I do believe that, I do know that they do a lot of Magic the Gathering at Amazing Discoveries, for instance, because they just had a huge release. But also, magic. I saw that with Heroes and Villains as well. So I guess
magic?
It just...
You have a huge magic collection.
A huge magic collection.
But you did not.
You did.
You did.
No, I just had one deck.
You liar. You used to have a bunch.
No, I had one deck that was given to me by a bunch of people. But
anyway, we digress.
I think all of them really play magic. They all have magic,
and they all do the trading card games. It's really hard because, you know, I've only been going to these stores on a regular basis for a couple of weeks. So, I mean, so right now, as far as to what I can see, I'm already excited when I go into these stores anyway. As far as critiquing them, I really don't have... I'm not in any position, at least right now, to really do so as far as what they can do better. I hope to, as I continue to go to them on a weekly basis, I would love to maybe give more of a, you know, detailed description on, you know, what I love to see in there, you know, and whatnot for each location. As I go there more often, we can probably go into that in more detail. I would love
to. We need more figurines. Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, you can use any figurine.
You can use any figurine.
Pathfinder, you can use whatever they got.
I don't know. I still love the figurine for Zatch.
From what I understand, Wizards stopped making actual Dungeons and Dragons figurines. So basically, you're limited to exactly what
they have a D&D attack wing game now.
They do. I've seen that at the store.
So, and they do that at the stores.
Because I've been going to Heroes and Villains for the past 3 weeks now, every Wednesday, and playing Dungeons and Dragons with a bunch of different people.
Right.
We all have the same groups, but there's like three different groups, and they're soon going to be breaking off into two more DMs, so there's going to be five different groups, five smaller groups.
Right.
Which right now it almost takes like an hour to get all the way around the table to do anything. But yeah. It's all good. It's fun, and you can go in. Anybody can go in. Mm-hmm. They'll even help you make a character. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a character sheet. You can say, "I would like a character sheet," and they'll give you somebody who's actually playing the game and say, "Here, you will help them make a character, and they will help you."
That's a pretty common denominator amongst all these different stores, right? They're really trying to.
They really want to have you there.
Entry is supposed to be pretty easy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Entry is very easy. You just go in and say, "I'm here to play whatever." If there's an entry fee, you know, you'll pay it. I think there's a couple things that is like $5 just to enter. There's $11 to enter, whatever. It's not that much.
And there are free groups. I should suppose.
Oh yeah, there's free groups.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dungeons and Dragons is free. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Usually the ones that cost money are like the tourneys.
Yeah.
Those are things, you know. Yeah, they do have places, you know, there's a certain times where they're like, we will be doing from this time to this time, we're mainly focused on this. But you can come in and still do other things. That's still fine. I mean, as far as I know, is that you can pretty much, a lot of the places that, especially Tucson Games and Gadgets,
yes,
has demo games.
Yes.
As well as Isle of Games, I believe, as well.
Which was awesome.
They have games where you can pull out.
Ticket to Ride. Such a good game.
So you can actually, you know, borrow these games. As time goes on, I'm going to spend a lot of time at these stores and just, you know, get a real good feel and get their atmosphere of the type of gamers that go there. And
when we have time.
When we definitely have time. Well, I go every day. I go once a week. I make my rounds.
Right.
So when I will continue to report, but this is definitely something, especially now that we have, you know, a community that's starting to really get into gaming, and not just gaming, like video gaming. We're talking tabletop hobby stores, where you got your 40K players, you got your HeroClix, you got your Dice Masters, you got your D&Ds, you got your GURPS, you got everything. You got your normal, even tabletop games. I mean, because games are not like Monopoly, sorry, you know. All those other games.
I like Monopoly.
Those are children's games.
I'm not saying those are. Oh, it's a baby's toy.
You're not going to find like a 10-year-old playing freaking
40K.
40K.
No, you're not.
No, that's way over there.
You know? Yeah. But we're talking like games that have really good focus on a story and plot, especially games like House on Haunted Hill. Have any of you guys played House on Haunted Hill?
No,
we're talking about the board game.
I think I've played the board game.
I've never played the board game.
It is a manhunt. It is basically you walk in the this mansion, and as you go through the mansion, you are drawing tiles for rooms.
Yes, I played that one.
You have played that one. You're building the mansion as you're going around in the
randomly generated dungeon.
And eventually, there is no plot to the game until you trigger the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And once the bad stuff happens, someone's a villain, and there's like 50 different scenarios depending on where the bad stuff happens, who did it, and what was the item that started it. And you have 50 different story ideas, and you just go through it, and then one guy's a bad guy, and then the others are trying to survive.
Is that like the game where like one person in the village is a werewolf, and everybody else is trying to figure out who the werewolf is?
Well, that's Mafia.
I love Mafia.
Mafia, werewolf, there's a whole bunch of different games for it. But there's a werewolf thing in House of Haunted Hill. We need to play House of Haunted Hill.
Yeah, we definitely need to play that.
All right. So,
but anyway,
I'm going to cut you off there.
Go ahead.
I'm going to cut you off there because it looks like you'll be
we'll be investigating for it, absolutely, because we definitely want to use this time to
I want to switch to something
play that
else.
Resident Evil game again too.
That Tony mentioned. This thing in GameStrader, they have. Did you say that it was an Xbox underwater?
Okay, so
a working Xbox underwater.
It's not really water. It's non-conductive oil.
What?
So they filled an aquarium tank with non-conductive oil and submerged an Xbox 360 motherboard inside of it, and then put in like Far Cry figurines, and so it really looks like
Bioshock.
It's
okay. It's all right.
Oh my gosh! Kill me now.
Look at the demon fish.
that would be cool too, if they could float. But no, they've got the whole thing set up there, and it works. It actually has the disc drive on top, so that people can insert like real 360 discs and play games and they talk about how the lady that they have that works there that does these things, that I forget how many hundreds of dollars they charge to do these sort of custom setups for. But this is sort of like becomes the centerpiece of someone's living room. It's wow. Like the thing that you would sit on the coffee table and be like, oh, here, we're going to play games on the aquarium today.
Oh, my God.
I actually have a cousin who lives up in Arkansas who's trying to do the same thing. Build an aquarium. Build his Xbox into an aquarium with the non-conductive oil and all that.
Who
stuff.
Woke up and thought, that's an idea?
I have no idea.
Apparently, if you've got a system that you're worried about heat issues... because the oil is so dense that it a lot of the heat dissipates throughout the oil, so they don't have to worry about heat issues nearly as much. There's no heat sink or anything on this.
Wow. So no red ring of death.
Right, it's entirely exposed.
Unless you throw it across the room, then you're pretty red ring.
Why would you want to throw an aquarium across the room?
How would you throw an aquarium across the room?
I've seen a video of this guy who took an axe to his Xbox because he was mad about the X1. Coming.
Will it blend?
that's a different.
Obviously, then
that's
you've
a
never seen Skeleton
Twins,
where they had
entirely.
To like destroy three aquariums before one finally made it.
Xbox dust. Don't breathe this.
Don't breathe this.
Oh man, that's horrible.
I don't know if that ever occurred to me ever. Maybe because I'm a computer science guy. I'm not an engineer, but. That never would have occurred to me. That is
I
so fucking cool.
I used the 360.
So I might have been one of those guys when I was going to college and stuff. No, PC, what I was always interested in was the experiments where I was with a group that we actually like poured some of the liquid nitrogen on top of an enclosed PC case so to keep the processor cooled enough to overclock it to 10 gigahertz. That was
good grief.
That was fun. Of course, there were like cracked three motherboards because it was too cold, but it was still a lot of fun.
Okay, so this setup is at Game Trader?
It's Game Trader on Silverbell, just north of Grant.
Mm-hmm. Is that and this is what they do, or is it just?
Oh, they do a whole lot of stuff. Mostly, it's one of the best local video game stores. They do like GameStop, basically. They've got. A lot of used games, but they go used as far back as to like Atari games. So everything.
So this is your
about.
This is basically
stuff
this
like
is your basically where you want to go for local mm-hmm. video game.
And then
store.
What they also do that other places don't do is video game repair. I've taken my PS3 over there three times because I've got one of the original PS3s with the dual CPUs to be fully backwards compatible with every PlayStation type game. And that thing keeps dying on me, and they fixed it for me twice.
Oh, man. See, because that's crazy, because, like, I've never noticed that here. There's actually a big lack of gaming places here, surprisingly, because when I lived in Illinois, there were game stores, like, all over the place. And they're, like...
Right
hmm?
I can name three right now.
In Tucson?
That were in Tucson. Two of them are shut down. One is the Game Trader. Another was Katana Games. They shut
down.
Shut
that
down. And then there was a third
that was
one.
The place that we went
that
to.
Was in Foothills.
That was Foothills Mall. Level Up Games.
Level Up Games.
Yeah.
There was right there for us. Super Smash Brothers tournament.
I was there for the tournament.
Yeah, I played as Meta Knight, and I got my ass handed to me. I should have played as Bowser.
I bought my Galleon
Sorry.
Puppet there.
Was that you?
It might have been. I really beat up a Meta Knight up there. If it was on me.
It's okay. I didn't expect to get very far. That's just like the Pokemon tournament we went to. I got
oh,
beat down in the first round.
Oh man! And then Josh Mendia, freaking.
Oh yeah, he made it all the way to the semifinals.
He lost to his own team. No, no. Okay, so here's the thing. This guy created this team to go to the Pokemon tournament. He placed in fourth. The person he lost to had the same exact team that he had, except for.
The other guy's Palkia was
slightly faster.
That was the only downfall. Was the other guy's Palkia was slightly faster.
Wow,
that's ridiculous. Like he got fourth and he got beat by the same team.
That sucks.
Was the only one of us who made it, who almost made it far enough, like further than the first round.
To be
and
fair,
I only lost to a Charizard
really
that randomly woke
like,
up
badly. Like yeah. I. freaking sent out Mewtwo. He would send out, like, something else. I forget what it was.
Like,
but it was just, I remember it being very bad typing.
That my worst defeat in a Pokemon tournament had to be because I was using Mewtwo. I was down to, like, I figured, okay, I'm probably going to lose this whole thing. So I was like, Mewtwo, use Metronome. It was my last Pokemon, his last Pokemon. Mewtwo used Metronome, and Metronome ended up becoming self-destruct. And because of the rules of the tournament, if you self-destruct, you lose. You can't win through self-destruct. And I tried arguing, but I metronomed. It
wasn't. No. No, they said they had a filter to like filter out anybody with like Game Shark Pokemon.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm fairly certain my Starmie was Game Shark. No, like Dylan got me the shiny Staryu. It was perfectly EV trained. He said it was perfect IVs. I was like, well, this is awesome, because, you know, Starmie is my favorite Pokemon. So I was able to raise it from a Staryu to a Starmie. Everything was already perfect. It had the perfect moveset. I'm fairly certain it was Game Sharked, but, I mean, it didn't get picked up on the thing. I don't know.
Interesting. I used to sell Mews for $5.
Nice.
Are you still doing that?
But because I think Dylan actually worked to get you that thing, because yeah. I remember him saying that.
I remember, because when I was working at the museum, I was doing a night shift overnight. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna return the favor. So I went online and I got a shiny Torchic, made it the perfect nature and everything like that, EV trained it, made it all the way to a shiny Blaziken, gave it to him, and then realized I should have named that thing Beelzekin. I didn't name it. That would have been the perfect name for that thing. It was like a beatdown. I think it even had the secret
the special ability, the
speed thing. So yeah. Like every turn, it just got faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, that, dude, was that awesome. Thing was ridiculous.
I think it was either that one or another one that he had the speed boost.
So before we go on,
I was gonna say so, but we go back. Like right now, Game Trader is the only local video gaming store.
Really? Yeah, everything really else is probably. GameStop.
Everything else is GameStop, or Best Buy, or Target, or whatever.
But corporate monsters.
So now I need to, Best Buy. I mean, you, Best Buy actually does trade-ins and stuff. But
you having said this,
hi Eddie.
As far as Games Trader goes, now you give me some hope, because I have an NES at home that doesn't work, because it's the one where you have to like blow into it and go. Actually, I can take it there. Maybe they can fix it.
Everybody knows that move.
Yeah.
I can take it there. They might fix it for me. Yes. I can play my NES again.
Yes.
Joyous day.
Before
we go on to the next topic, I need to know just one last thing on Pokemon. Everyone's favorite Pokemon, go. Starmie, you said.
Starmie's mine. Yep.
Tony,
it has to be Pikachu. That's what I do in Smash Brothers.
That's fine. Will.
Alakazam.
Alakazam. Golem is my favorite, with Blaziken probably being the same now.
Hold on. Before I say my Pokemon name, favorite Pokemon, you gotta try to guess and see, like, which Pokemon would fit me.
Ditto.
No. Before you...
There's 456 Pokemon, I'm not guessing.
Come on.
Jigglypuff?
I think there's like 700 and something now, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, there's something. Okay, fine. Nobody's gonna get it.
I can guess.
Wait,
I can guess.
But you know my favorite Pokemon.
Farfetch.
Can we get a hint?
Because this whole thing
it is a ghost.
Zevious.
What generation is it from?
First.
Gengar?
Haunter.
So close.
Haunter is my favorite Pokemon. Because
why would it be a
de-evolved
version?
Gengar would have been my second favorite, so good for
no,
you.
No, you know why? Because Haunter should have been the final evolution.
I kind of agree.
Haunter was better. He was cooler looking. He was mischievous. He fucked what's her name up for
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
It wasn't a cartoon, buddy. It doesn't work in real life.
I know,
life.
But like he was, it, really it was because of him. He is the ultimate troll ghost, and that's why if there is a personality, Pokemon personality that fits me, it's Haunter's, because I like to like spook people and do random stuff.
Gengar looks like a dead Jigglypuff, and he gets bonus points for that.
Actually, I think it's Clefable.
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 Yeah. Clefable, because there's that that theory that goes around that Gengar is literally Clefable's shadow. So, because I think, what is it? His name is like some sort of like
Like in the Japanese.
The name for him it means like double or doppelganger. That's what it was. It wasn't even Japanese. Yeah. Doppelganger, Gengar. That's so a lot of people say it's like, oh, he's the. And if you look at it, they have the same basic shape.
They do.
You know?
They do.
Kind of like how Cubone or right. Marowak is a Kangaskhan.
Yeah, the Cubone skull. I think everyone also says a Cubone is a Kangaskhan baby, where the Kangaskhan is the skull.
Yeah.
Then once it's a Cubone, then it becomes Marowak. But it started off as that one of that Kangaskhan baby that's in the
That's
pouch.
A sad thing. Of
Whoa.
Course. Oh no!
Too we heavy for us.
Eddie's like, oh,
way,
no.
This is way too heavy.
The truth is just like
Alex, take us.
Pokemon is a dark universe if you think
it
about
can
it.
Be.
Too
it really
much.
Can be.
We're not going to go into that black hole. Alex, can you take us to our final topic tonight?
What was it? Terraria.
Yes. Wait.
What?
No, we're not going through the Pokemon black hole.
No. That's what I was going to say.
We'll be here forever.
I was thinking about it because Terraria is an awesome game and we should have something. But I was thinking what we should talk about for our final topic is the things that we're going to be doing for Front Row Geeks.
They're not out yet. We're workshopping.
But we're thinking about things.
I had this conversation with David.
I think we should wait till things are more final before
you're right.
we unveil
okay, fine.
All of that.
Fine. Let's just talk
You will
about
all
Terraria.
See it at TCC in November 6th through 8th.
There we go. Future. Plan for it.
Future planned.
Go to TCC.
Go to TCC.
November
6th. Come find us. Be on our games.
Go to TCC Squared because it's Tucson Comic Con at the Tucson Convention
yes,
Center.
That's right.
Okay, back to you, Alex.
Terraria.
What the
or
hell
Terraria,
is that?
Depending on.
All right, so everyone's been swept up in this Minecraft, you know, craze, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terraria is basically the same thing, only not in a 3D world. It's a 2D side-scrolling
8-bit thing.
And I actually think it's been around longer than Minecraft. I'm not 100% on that.
It's old.
No.
Yeah, I know
it's
old.
Yeah, but I think Minecraft was around like a few months before Terraria came out. I'm not sure.
The point is, Terraria is like is 100 times better.
Yeah, because there's monsters during the day and the night. You go, oh man, you get like
daytime
all sorts of things.
The night.
Yeah. Day, man.
No. Me and my wife, not long after our wedding, we bought the PS4 version of Terraria.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, now, hold on. We bought the
I
PS4
bought Terraria
version.
On the PC for like $6. So.
Terraria came out almost exactly 2 years after Minecraft.
Okay. So Terraria
wow.
2011.
Wow.
But no, we bought the PS4 version and we started to play it and I didn't get into it. So we didn't touch it for a long time. Last week it was, you know, we started moving and we packed up our stuff.
Right.
We ended up packing up our video games and so I was like, okay, well we got downloaded games. So we tried Terraria again, and this time we really got into it. We were able to go, you know, digging underground, searching, and all this other stuff. I found something called the Crimson. That was fun, and all I had was wood armor at the time. So,
wait, the Crimson is a creature?
The Crimson is like the opposite of Corrupt. So, you know, it's like all red and stuff. The Corrupt is purple. And the Crimson...
What's the Corrupt?
Okay, the Corrupt is an area in Terraria. So, like... Terraria has different zones.
Let's
restart because my experience in Terraria was I tried building a house, a zombie knocked the door down and ate me. That's
yeah.
as far
oh, yeah.
as I ever got.
Okay.
Yeah.
So explain.
Okay, so Terraria has different zones. So like if you go to the left or to the right, because that's where you can go, or you go down, you end up in all of these different zones.
Bios.
So there's a bios.
What happens if you go up?
Desert. Oh, yes.
Floating
islands. In heaven.
Yeah, there's floating islands. There's space.
There's heaven.
Meanwhile, if you go down, you reach the underworld. So
yeah.
That's pretty great.
You
go all the way down, you reach the underworld. Which I did. I created a elevator, is what it's called. You go straight
yeah.
from the surface all
and
the
just
way down.
Straight
one,
down.
One shaft
one
all the
column.
Way down from surfaces to underworld.
It's best to do that with like the wings so you can fly up.
Actually, I did that and I drained some water along the way. You know, I ran into a chamber full of water. So this whole like water is coming down with me. So when I reached the underworld, it was able to safely float me down and not, you know, crash into freaking burning lava. But
this game already sounds terrifying.
No, it's
oh,
amazing.
It can be. It
oh,
can be.
Oh,
I'm already terrified.
Especially when you get into hard
my Catholic
mode.
Some of the bosses.
My Catholicism is kicking in right
because
now.
Because you can fight the Eye of Cthulhu.
The Eye of Cthulhu was a boss. That's just the main, his eye. That's like flies the
first,
around.
That's like the first boss that you probably will run across. Is actually, the Eye of Cthulhu.
The quote-unquote first boss should be King Slime. So
King Slime, yes.
King Slime is the first quote-unquote first boss. But you can actually trigger any boss at any time.
Yes.
As I learned today when I
just today.
Okay. Like so, I said, me and my wife had it on PS4. And we put it on the PC because, like I said, we're moving out. Our internet went out. So we put it on the PC and we've been playing it on that instead of PS4.
Good job.
And I took it to my friend's house today. And
the first thing
he did was build a elevator and awoken something called the Wall of Flesh.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That thing.
And he killed it. And it plunged my game into hard mode. So I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Because
I can't even control it, right?
Unicorns start attacking, and...
Unicorns attack.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Pirates attack, flying pirate ships come in. I'm like...
Yeah.
I built this, like... We built this
city. Wooden house.
What was it? It was like an apartment. It was like...
A complex.
No, it was like a complex, yeah. I can't think of the name. Low-income housing is basically what it was.
Section 8.
Project?
Either way, all the villages are there, and I started building myself this crimstone mansion over here. But, nope. All these things just came in, like, pirate ships crashed into the freaking project housing. I was like, what's going on?
Because pirates hate low income.
I know! It was my version of the Tucson house.
Hey, it's a great day to be a sky pirate.
Section 8 house.
Where do I sign up? Where do I sign up? I want in.
It's on the Section 8 housing or Terraria?
Terraria.
Steam, bro. Steam.
Yeah, you can get it on Steam. You can get it on PSN. You can get it
on Steam. Because we all got it.
I gotta finish my run of Persona 4 first, but I'm probably gonna jump on that.
We probably should do a Front Row Geeks of Terraria while I was trying to play it.
Yeah, no. Oh, my goodness. What was it? Remember when I came, walked into your room one time and you were playing Persona 4 and I was just like... I did not have a good... introduction to Persona 4 because I came in at probably the most annoying part in the game.
He walked in and I was playing Persona 4. He came over and he walked in the room right as I was meeting Barry, the bear, and he didn't like Teddy. Yeah, he did not like Teddy. He didn't like his voice and like he couldn't figure out anything that was going on. and then he watched a little more and we ended up at the beach scene, you know, where they go on vacation. And that's when he was just like,
"Wait, what?
I'm done."
There's a beach scene yet?
It was a beach scene.
That must have been way later, because I'm not there yet.
There's a...
Spoiler.
I'm in the video game world right now. There's always a beach scene. It's a Japanese creation. Oh, yeah, there's always Japanese... a beach.
Bathhouse. And it's Atlas, too.
Bathhouse.
It's Atlas games. So
Costa del Sol.
There's a beach episode somewhere in there.
There's a beach episode somewhere.
But that must
I could be mistaken,
springs,
and like maybe I popped in Persona 3, because I was playing both at the same time. But
ooh, hot springs.
Persona 3.
Oh my god, no, there is hot springs level in Persona 4, and that's just kind of creepy.
It gets creepy?
It gets creepy.
That's not good. I don't want a creepy bathhouse scene.
Yeah, it gets creepy.
Damn it.
There's a creepy hot springs scene in Legend of Gaia.
It's a Japanese game.
I really, really don't want to go into that.
There's a love Legend of Legaia.
There's a creepy bathhouse scene in Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
There's a bathhouse scene in all the Tails games I play.
But there's not one in Pokemon.
Yep, not true. Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. There is a freaking hot spring with two old ladies that you can go in there. You can go in with the hot ladies.
Why would you want
ladies.
To go the in hot
ladies.
Ladies.
The hot ladies.
The hot ladies.
They're in the hot spring. They're cooking.
No. You do that. And they split it off for boys and girls. They split off boys and girls in the new version of Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
But
originally, it was just two old women who were obviously been in there too long.
Why are they not?
We've been here since 1970.
As you can see, we're a little overcooked.
There's also an old man who has a Pokemon egg buried in the sand because he's trying to keep it warm.
Wait, what?
Keep his head warm?
No. There's an old man with a Pokemon egg, and he buries it in the sand to try and keep it warm and alive. And if you talk to him, He'll give you the Pokemon egg.
Oh. Okay, if you think
tell
that's
them about
bad,
the night ditto.
No, no, no.
The night. I'll tell them.
Since we were talking about creepy bathhouse scenes, the creepiest bathhouse scene I've ever had to deal with was playing Final Fantasy XIV, myself being a Lalafell. And for those of you who don't know what a Lalafell is, a Lalafell is this cute little tiny 3 foot tall magic person. So I walk into this sort of hot spring area, and they tell me to go take care of like this one rich guy who's like underneath this waterfall in the hot spring bathing.
Oh no.
And I get over there. No. This guy's like 7 feet tall, super buff and muscular, white hair and mustache, and he's like, "Hey there, lad, I need you to put this oil on me." I'm sitting there like, "No." No. No. It's like my character is
Godfrey, oh my
like,
god.
Ah!
Is that the
lower?
That's the MMO.
Is that
the
lower?
Is that the hot springs over by where you fight the Titan boss?
Yep.
I don't remember that quest, and I thank God that I didn't stumble upon it.
Oh, I totally remember that quest.
Did they know that Michael plays too?
Yes, he's in our the free company Torchwood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one I started.
That's the one he started.
Okay,
and both of us don't.
Saturdays the MMO. Core,
yeah.
Day.
The two of the core members sitting right here of that free company don't play much anymore.
Not nearly as much anymore.
But
and I blame the hot spring scene.
Yeah.
I love that game, but I play it as I'm able to afford a month. You know? If I can spare $30 for a month for my game and my wife's game, then we'll play it for a while. That's about it.
But anyway.
But night what ditto. You say, you want to know about the night ditto?
No, because they know a little bit, they know about the night ditto, but the night ditto.
Okay, so final story. Anything else we want to talk about?
Terraria.
Anything else we need to cover about that?
Try it. It's a little bit more.
There's red stuff. There's
really
purple
stuff.
You can go up, down, left, and
trees,
right.
There's
colorful
trees.
There's
AB start.
There might be some bosses.
If you get far enough, a unicorn will attack you.
So then you want to close
and pirates hate low income housing.
Pirates do hate low income housing.
Aren't unicorns like, you know,
if I might,
is
that
like
should
a,
be the title of the episode.
Pirates hate low income housing.
Actually, our FRG weeklies are simply titled.
Okay.
Now, if we end up doing, we need to bring this back maybe for our group meeting, because then I can title it that.
Okay.
This is that's what it should be. Pirates hate low income
housing.
Maybe we'll make that the title of the next group meeting.
That's a good
which
idea.
We'll do in the next couple of weeks. But why don't you close us out on Night Ditto?
The Night Ditto. When I was playing Pokemon Diamond and Pearl when that came out, I had this Ditto and I put it in the daycare because you know everybody does the same thing. You put a Ditto in the daycare and then you plop whatever Pokemon else you want in there, and they'll make a new Pokemon. Basically, I had this Ditto in there. I had this Ditto in there from the time that I reached where I was able to reach the daycare, and I just left it there the entire game. 200 hours into this game, my Ditto vanishes from the daycare. It's just gone. I was like, I never pulled you out. What the hell happened? And
that's
so,
what you said.
So my theory was that it escaped, but since, you know, it's been in there its entire freaking life, that's all it knows. That's all it knows is to breed. So, came up with this backstory that it got out, and now it's lurking in the woods as the Night Ditto. It grabs unsuspecting Pokemon as they go by. Oh, man, it was so bad.
And Ditto's them? Wow.
And that is the tale of the Night Ditto.
And then one last thing, because we brought up Robot Time earlier tonight, not in the podcast, but earlier tonight at the Barrio. What was the story, the exact story that you made up for it?
Oh, what was it? It was, these robots are the new defenders of the universe. Wherever there is a cry for help or a small child being raped, they'll step in and finish the job.
Jesus.
It was basically me purposely trying to think of the worst way I could phrase something.
You have ruined the purity that I had for Robot Time.
Robot Time is such a... When Robot Time happens, I was always excited. Now I'm just dreading it.
Now we're like child rapers of humanity. Now, robot
time. All those times when I go out to restaurants and I go up to random people, it's robot time.
I'm going to think about children being raped now.
Don't think about that.
That's not the point.
That's horrible.
The point is they come in and they stop it.
The point is they came in and stopped it.
I just phrased it in a way that it just sounded the worst way it possibly could.
Yes, it did.
They still come in and stop the crime or whatever.
We will end today's podcast on robots raping children.
No! We have to end on something else.
Robots raping children.
No!
This is the part...
Now we're picking it up again.
Oh, what? What?
No, yeah, you're recording.
Press record again.
No, are you recording over it?
No. It's a different layer.
Are you sure?
Yeah, why are you recording a different layer?
Okay, well, anyway. It's been about 15 minutes. We were laughing for about 14 minutes. Jesus. It was pretty hilarious.
You know what I'm going to say.
Don't say
it. I don't know.
As soon as you hit stop, we can sit here forever, but you know I'm going to say it.
What?
Before you hit stop.
Don't say it.
Let's close this up.
Just wrap up already.
Let's wrap it up.
See ya. No, all right, thanks everyone, for watching, guys.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for listening.
He did it on purpose. I just kind of let him do it.
You know, what's funny is last week,
you were saying
like, hey, if you watch this, if you're watching this podcast,
you must have superpowers or be a real creeper.
All right, let's plug our stuff. Everyone, listen to this podcast, subscribe, be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, tell your friends.
Also, yes, tell your friends. We need more people to listen and watch and all this stuff. If you like it, let us know.
So catch us here on the podcast. Catch us on twitch.tv/frontrowgeeks to watch our streams. We record 5 nights a week, dark Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but that's probably not going to be much longer.
Also, probably dark Sundays for a bit, too, because I am
probably tomorrow, because I can't do with my brother.
Well, no, because I'm not recording.
But I will continue.
Oh, gotcha.
You will be continuing.
I can't do it tomorrow.
Although I still want to finish Super Metroid.
Yes, that will happen.
So there's that. And then what am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something.
Fridays?
Twitch stream.
TCC.
Well, yeah.
TCC.
Come see us at Tucson Comic Con. At the Tucson Convention Center, so TCC Squared.
Oh, our social media is Front Row Geeks, and our...
Find us on Facebook.
Our handle is FRG_media, so find us there on Twitter and Instagram as well. And with that, we wish everyone a good night. So everyone wave in the microphone.
Speaking of... Hold on,
I got an Instagram
link. Have a good night, everybody.
Woohoo! Waving at the microphone, yes, it all goes away.
This has been a presentation of Front Row Geeks. Adios.